In her new book, Elizabeth Smart returns to her horrific ordeal when, at the age of 14, she was abducted at knife point and held captive for 9 months. Nearly 16 years later, she's writing about how she and other people find the power to never give up, heal, and move forward. Prior to her April 5th appearance in Boise, Elizabeth Smart visits with Weekend Edition host George Prentice.
A few years back, I know that you had the opportunity to be part of the creation of an online class on psychology with Dr. Paul Jenkins. And Dr. Jenkins' take on forgiveness is particularly important. I want to make sure I get this right. I'm going to read this from your book. He says, snakes are going to be snakes. Forgiveness is about acknowledging that the snake is a snake. And if it bites you, you're not going to chase it down. You're going to focus on getting the venom out of your system. Forgiveness is really a healing gift that we give ourselves. It has nothing to do with the other person.
Absolutely. When I was thinking about these different chapters and forgiveness, I knew that was going to be a huge chapter. And as I went out and asked people their opinions on forgiveness, I'd say it was a very learning and growing experience for myself because I knew how I felt about it, but I had never written it down and had never really articulated it. So it kind of pushed me into a new, into looking at it and into a new way. And when Dr. Paul was talking about forgiveness and talking about his experiences and some of his clients that he's worked with in the past and how they've dealt with it, it just made so much sense to me because there are so many people out there who get hurt. And they have no control over the people who hurt them or the circumstances that hurt them. But, I mean, it causes them great pain. But even though they're in a lot of pain, the person that hurt them, that may not make a difference to them. Like my situation, for example, my captors, they will probably never say sorry to me. They will probably never feel bad for what they did. They'll never feel bad for kidnapping me, for raping me, for chaining me up. They'll never feel bad for that. The only thing they might feel bad for is that they got caught. But me, on the other hand, it's important for me to be able to move on because if I continually hold on to that pain, that means that, you know, I will never be able to live my life 100% because there'll be a part of me that's still stuck in the past, still holding on to what happened. So I think it's important. It is important for me to acknowledge what happened to me. It was terrible. I had every right to feel angry, every right to feel frustrated, every right to feel, why? Why me? Why did this have to happen to me? I think it was important for me to acknowledge all of those feelings, but then to get to a point where I needed to realize that I also needed to leave that in my past. I needed to let go of it and to move forward. Forgiveness really is not for the other person. I know we've all heard this probably 1,000 times. Forgiveness is for yourself. But still, I think when we think of forgiveness, we think of it inextricably tied to another person, when really that is not the case. You don't need two people to achieve forgiveness. You just need one person to achieve forgiveness, and that's yourself.
Mm. Finally, I'd like to ask you a bit about Happily Ever After, the myth and the reality of Happily Ever After, and how your own concept of Happily Ever After has evolved over the years.
Sure. In this book, as I began writing it, I already knew that the end chapter, I wanted it to be about Happily Ever After. And I remember even when we were talking about titles, I remember thinking, oh, well, maybe we should call it The Myth of Happily Ever After, because there's no such thing as Happily Ever After. And maybe that sounds a little bit cynical, but it just, when I was thinking about it, I was like, no matter where you are in life, you are going to have challenges. You are going to have struggles. You're going to have trials. Life isn't perfect. I guess it depends on how you define happily ever after. Does happily ever after mean, you know, perfection? Does it mean that nothing bad will ever happen again? Does it mean that, you know, there's no pain or suffering left in life? Because if that's the case, then I was absolutely right. You know, happily ever after does not exist. But that's not so much the conclusion that I came to, because every person that I asked, do you believe in happily ever after? Every single one of them said, yes, I do. And to them, it didn't mean that. And as I sat there listening to everyone tell me that, I thought, well, you know what? 15 years ago, what did I want? I wanted to be married. I wanted to have a family. I had wanted to go to college. I had wanted to, you know, travel around the world. There were a lot of things that I wanted. And as I put this list together in my mind of what I wanted 15 years ago, and then looked at where I am today, I kind of realized that I actually am living my happily ever after. I am married. I'm married to my best friend. I have two children who they're the world to me. They're everything to me. I'm doing something that's meaningful and hopefully is making a difference. Yes, I am, in fact, living my happily ever after.
Elizabeth Smart comes to Boise Thursday, April 5th. She'll be at the Grove Hotel for an author talk and book signing. And her new book is called Where There's Hope. Elizabeth, safe journey. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Rediscovered Books will host Elizabeth Smart in a special appearance at the Grove Hotel in Boise on Thursday, April 5th. You can learn more about that event at rdbooks.org.